Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for every chance that we have to encounter your love. Every opportunity that you give us to enter your throne room and worship and praise, Father. That we have a good daddy that desires to show us an incredible love and desires to shower us with grace and mercy. Father, we celebrate your goodness. We rejoice in your love this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for that special way, Lord God, that you just speak to each one of our hearts, the way you draw us in. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have a time of communion as we just continue in that heart of worship and celebrating him and honoring who he is. I just wanted to share a couple things that were on my heart real quick about just about the Father's heart. And this morning I had I woke up early this morning, and I woke up to a text asking about if I would like to have the opportunity to share during communion. And I thought, great, it's 5 o'clock. I've got plenty of time to pray and seek the Lord and ask and hear what his heart expression is for this morning. And just as I was reading it, a wonderful child started crying in my ear. And then another one woke up. And it was amazing because it's amazing what you can do. I'll share a quick story. This morning, I was up by about 5 o'clock this morning with all of the kids awake, and it's amazing how much you can get done when you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Usually, when we wake up, we throw the clothes on the kids real quick, and we're just trying to get out of the van. But when you wake up at 5 o'clock, there's a time for bath and. And we went out and grabbed some breakfast and came back, and everybody had all these extra clothes and everything. And the Lord started speaking to me this morning about the difference of what it looks like when you have all the time in the world and when you have a short amount of time. And I started to look at what Christ did with his disciples when there was a short amount of time left with them. Because those are the times when you're going to take care of the necessities of taking care of the things that are most vital and most important. And the Lord gave me a verse. It's actually very appropriate that all of the children are here on my lap. The Lord gave me a verse about a week or two ago, as just a promise of something to pray over over my children and declare over them. And Josh actually happened to mention it last night. It's in John 10. It's verse 27 and 28. And I just believe that it's something that the Lord wants to release this morning to kind of draw us into that attitude for communion. In verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And you get to see this incredible heart of the Lord, and he's been speaking to me a lot lately about knowing the difference between God's provision, recognizing that there is provision from the Lord, and knowing God as a Father who provides. And there's a level of intimacy there that we can't get anywhere else. And so we see Jesus talking about his children, his sheep, and he declares that he knows them, that they know his voice and he knows them, and they will never be snatched out of their hand. So you have this time of communion where the Lord is just pouring his heart out, and there's this time of sweet intimacy and communion between Christ and his disciples. And I believe that was one of the things that the Lord was so important to the Lord to express and to understand, that we would know him as a father, that we would know him as a God of this incredible love and this amazing mercy and grace. And in all of these, we find all of these things at the cross. And he wants us to partake in communion as we remember those things, as we remember who he is, that it's not necessarily about what he did that we're remembering, but we're remembering who he is. It's the heart of the Father that drew him into that place of dying on the cross for our sins. Because, you know, one thing that we heard the other day, we were at the Men Who Honor, we were watching a DVD, and one thing that they said is there's times when we can focus on being right, or we can focus on being reconciled. And what Christ did, instead of being right, he chose reconciliation. That he had every right for us, through a heart of justice, to be punished. But there's this mercy that he lavishes upon us. And it's amazing, because he chooses to go to the cross through this avenue of intimacy with his disciples. And I believe that there's just a sweetness as I'm looking outside and seeing all of the snow falling, and it just these huge flakes falling on the snow. And it's just, there's a sense of purity that comes with it, and it just I don't know, maybe you're sick of the snow, but I think it just looks absolutely beautiful to see that, those snowflakes falling. And it's just a reminder of this outpouring of his purity and grace and mercy. And I believe that the Lord this morning wants to just touch us with that, just to remind us of that intimacy that he desires for us. So I'm going to invite you guys to come up and take the sacraments here, and just go back to your seats with the bread and the cup. And I'm going to say, I just want to release a prayer of blessing, and just remember that the Lord has called us into a place of intimacy. That's what he's looking for, that longing for that intimate connection with him, that was what we were created for, as sons, as daughters, as his sheep, that we would know his voice and walk in that revelation, that nothing will snatch us away from that, that he holds us in his hands, and there's this power and this grace and this love that's never going to separate us from it. So I'm going to invite you guys to come up to grab piece of the bread and the juice. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we were created for this, that we were created for intimacy, that we were created for an outpouring of grace and love, Father, that we were created to know your voice, Father. And as we celebrate that, as we celebrate your body being broken on the cross, as we celebrate, Father, the blood that was poured out, we remember, Father, that was your choice, so that we would be reconciled with you, that we would know your voice, and that we could live from a position where we would never be snatched away. So, Father, I ask that you would bless these sacraments, Father God, and that you would just continue to draw us into that place of intimacy, of reminding us, Father, of your heart, of your desire to walk with us, Father, that we would know that voice. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to invite you to come up and take this, and just take it back to your seat, and just take a minute to sit before the Lord and remember what he did and why he did it. That it's not just about a whole group of people, but it's about you. It's about the one person. It's about experiencing that connection that we were created for. Thank you, Lord.
with you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that our encounter with you is all that matters. Our encounter with you, Holy Spirit, our encounter with you, Father, is all that ultimately makes any difference, Lord, for anything in our life. Everything spills out of the encounter with you, what that would mean and look like for our own life, Lord, as we connect with you. Father, as your word and your presence are touching our hearts right now, Father, we just experience you in the deepest places, in that heartfelt place, Lord, that you've created for us to be able to know you, to be able to step in to what belongs to us. We just thank you for your promise. We thank you for your seed of life. We thank you, Lord, for the seed that is imperishable. We thank you, Lord, that perishable things fall away, but the imperishable is eternity for us that we get to experience more and more, especially as we have communion with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship, for the koinonia fellowship, sweet communion with you, Holy Spirit, as we connect with the elements, Father, that are much more than bread and juice and wine. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you said, do this in remembrance of me. So we thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of encountering and being with you ever so close. Thank you for the closeness increasing right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, this week we celebrated Valentine's Day, and I called some friends in Brazil, and I said, I just don't know if you really celebrate this. I just talked to Pastor Jose in Mozambique, and they do, whatever degree in Mozambique. And I was told, well, our Valentine's Day is actually June 12th. I said, okay. I love you so much. And my expression of heart of love for you is just really, really overflowing right now. And I just wanted to say that to you. Every day is Valentine's Day, but this is just special here. And I was reminded that God does amazing things for us, into us and in us. And these special times, these special marks. And for some of us, it may have been a time of maybe sadness because we didn't have what others may be celebrating, a dinner out or a special Valentine. But, you know, I just had this picture that Jesus says, I'm your Valentine. I'm really your Valentine. And I just want to so draw you close into my heart. And I'm going to show you what life is really all about more and more. So Valentine's Day this year has been extra special for me. Just taking on deeper meaning, new meaning for me, the depth of the cross, the depth of the resurrection, and the depth of the love that surrounds me that I'm so grateful to have. And I just enjoy each and every one of you and invite you to just enjoy the presence of the Lord even more. And I'm grateful for your lives. And as I was awakening on that Wednesday, was it Wednesday? Valentine's Day morning, it came to my attention that our grandfather, Friday. Anyway, that our grandfather in the faith, a papa in the faith for so many of us, is Bob Jones, went home to be with the Lord. Major prophet, holding an office of prophet that bar none around the world that people look to and have just seen so much favor of God in his life. He was 83 years old And he had so many words that have blessed so many of us. And over the years, we've had the privilege of being in various meetings that he and now his wife Bonnie have held. But just, you know, we're trying to remember whether it was last year or the year before, we were in a meeting where he and his wife called people up to pray for them. It was a meeting for pastors. And we were prayed for. And it was just really special to us. Very special, because he has an eye from the Lord that sees. And he was seeing a lot of things in people and for people and such. And he was speaking that out in a lot of destiny things. And I know that his homegoing, his graduation, his upgrade is something that, you know, might not be felt in fullness by his family right now. But I'm sure he's just excited as can be, because he passed into eternity, he thought, one other time, years and years ago. And he has quite a good testimony. You can catch it on YouTube in three different segments. But back in, I believe it was in the 70s, 75, he went home and stood in line to connect with Jesus, in a line that the Lord set up for him to see. And the Lord showed him those who were not going to be walking in eternity with Jesus Christ, but they had an opportunity to encounter Jesus or to recognize the truth before that separation took place. And it was really, really strong in his heart. And Bob didn't want to come back to the earth, but the Lord said, I want you to go back, because I want to teach you and my people some things. And so I've been really moved by that testimony and by what he said that God has shown him. He has given so many prophetic words, so many life-changing prophecies for the last days that I believe that we're in, the beginning of the end here, whatever that looks like. And I believe eschatology, which is a study of the end times, knowledge of the end times, has taken on a very different perspective for some as a result of the encounters that Bob Jones and many other prophets who have tutored under him have experienced. And it's just interesting to see where things are in 2014 and to see what God is doing, and to be so privileged to be alive, to see that the Lord is making his earth the way he wants it. He's bringing restoration the way he wants it before he comes back. And I want to go through some scriptures today that talk about some of that. But before we do, as part of those changes that Bob Jones and others have seen in the Word and also experienced with angelic encounters and encounters directly with the Lord. You know, as a prophet once said, I think it was James Gall once said, we all can hear from the Lord, but sometimes we have that extra megaphone, you know, when the Holy Spirit decides to show up in whatever form and fashion that he wants to help us continue on on the path that he's carved out for us. So, just very exciting, and I can share a few of those things in the message in just a minute. Just encourage you, if you do, or if you're going to be in Kingdom Kids, to really get this and listen to it after the fact. But before we have anything else, I just want to read you a text that I got from Pastor Jose. And so this was received on Valentine's Day, actually. And this is pretty exciting. And I would like to read it to you if I can get this here. Where are you, PJ? Here we go. He says, hi, Frontline family. Yesterday we received good news about the land in Masiani. The government gave us a permit to build. In 5 years' time, is not this miraculous? Yes, it is, because we are the first ones to be given the land around the area. Let's all praise him. Blessings to all. So on Valentine's Day, the day that Bob Jones went home to be with the Lord, on the day of love, we get the final okay from the government in Mozambique, given to Pastor Jose, that everything is officially ours, even though it was ours before that. God had given it to us and we were in process and had the papers, but they had to go through the stamps and all of that. And it's secured by the Lord for us to have. And if we decided we wanted to build tomorrow for whatever reason, we could just show up and build and no one could stop us. Is that amazing? So Frontline Mozambique has been established with the establishment of land in that regard. Having been there now, this will be our 12th year. Isn't that interesting? The year of government. And so God is doing something very mighty. And I just burst into prayer when he told me that. I was so excited. And we were just praising God and praying together. So let's just join our hearts and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have established here. Father, may it be unto you according to your word, according to your plans, according to your purposes for these last days, ushering in the return of Jesus. Lord, on the ocean, Father God, that land that you let us see, that virgin land, Father, that has so prophetic, many prophetic meanings, Lord, where the land that was called the United States, the America is right before that as we the land on the sea. Father, that was the high place in the area, and they called it America to be able to see where those who would come and trespass and kill, pillage, and destroy would be stopped because they could see from that land. So this is a place on the ocean, Lord, for seers, for those who enjoy your presence, for world leaders, for those, Father God, who will find respite, will find a place of holy fire. This will be a mountain on the sea of holy fire and worship and whatever else you want to bring into this place of rest, that this will send shockwaves through Mozambique as we connect in with Iris Ministries and any other ministry there that would be part of that. And we thank you, Lord God, for the ministries around the world that we have the privilege of partnering with as well, and with the establishment of Frontline Brazil in that regard, Frontline Mozambique in that regard. Thank you for this land. Thank you for the dream. Thank you, Lord God, that the dream is coming to fruition now. And thank you that we had the privilege last summer to be able to step foot in that land and meet with the powers that be in the natural there to see it come to pass. So we give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we just want to show a short clip I asked Andy to find if you weren't here in July or August, whenever we got back. This is the land. This is our land in Mozambique. So if you have that, you can put it up. How many of you were there last summer? Woohoo! Here we go. You can turn the light off in the back, maybe. There we go. This is our land. This is incredible. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about Frontline Brazil being established, and now this. God's up to something mighty in 2014. Amen? So here is our land on the sea. Soon to come. The movie awaits. And Bethany looks at Carl. Here we go. So good. Is that gorgeous? The love of the Lord. The vast sum of the love of the Lord that we can only begin to understand and fathom. The first fruit on that land right there. Look at that. Tanya. Thank you. From Indonesia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many things will happen there. Many things will happen on this land. Where heaven comes to earth, this will be a place of shaking, a place of fire, a place of holiness, and many other things that God's going to bring I don't even know yet. But let this stir you up, because the Lord doesn't want us to forget what it is he started. Thank you, Lord. And wouldn't the enemy love to steal that away? Wow. I did not believe how amazing it was. It was the absolute most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. This land, this incredible. This land and the water. Untouched. Untouched. Untreated upon, unbeloved. It's amazing. Girls in the beach and water. What can I say?
What we have learned today is that even if you have sand on your pants, you can still be strong and have joy. Uh-huh.
on the shore, having a great time in the sand. The water's warm, the sun is great. It's an amazing place to be, so come on out!
So we're here in our land that the Lord has blessed us with on the Indian Ocean in Mozambique, and it's amazing, and I'm so excited because I know that the Lord's going to do amazing things here. Definitely this is going to be a place of rest and refreshing. There's going to be places of 24/7 worship and prayer. There's going to be a real confluence of the nations coming together to seek the presence of the Lord. And I'm so excited to see what the Lord's going to do here. And I know He's going to accelerate His mighty work that He's doing here in the name of Jesus.
Okay, we're on our land in Masiani, Wishik, Wamos, and Pastor Jose and myself. And we're just so excited to be here because of what the Lord's given and released and what's going to happen. Pastor Jose, words of life.
Well, one more time, we are so excited and blessed with what God is doing and He's going to do. We are waiting for the government to approve our request, and then we are in few steps to have the land completely. And we are sure that the Lord will do amazing things, and we are so grateful because the chief is with us. He is so happy and he loves us, and he is getting excited. He want to see what the Lord will do, and that is so great thing for us. We keep praying, pray with us, because we want to see this happening in soon future. And I see we want to have our documentation for this land. Bless you.
We are believing for this to just accelerate. We believe this is God's time. We believe that this is His idea. And we're so together on this. And we believe that the Lord is being glorified here. Many, many people will be seeking the face of the Lord here. Many blessings will come from this land and the sea. Many ideas, many, many plans the Lord strategically is releasing. And we're just so grateful for all the divine connections with the chief and other connectors here and all the provisional people that God's putting in place. So God bless you. Thank you for joining hearts with us. And we're looking forward to what God is doing and thanking Him. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, amen. It's pretty exciting, whether you've been to Mozambique or not, because this is another step in the fulfillment of a promise. And this promise came a long time ago, and things that were stolen along the way are going to be recovered, especially in this area. If they have fallen by the wayside, whether it's people or finances or anything, the Lord is bringing it back, because that's how He is. He's a restorer of good things. And so God wants to do that, but He wants us to understand how to stand and wait and to stand on His promises and not forget them and go, oh yeah, or take them for granted. Can you imagine being the king of the universe and knowing what you'd like to see happen and people becoming very passe about it? We don't want to be people like that. So thank you for joining us in celebrating this very exciting time for this documentation. And Pastor Jose on the phone to me said, MP, this is a really big miracle. And I said, oh, I know. He goes, no, this is a really big miracle that this happened. Do you understand? I said, I believe so. Oh, praise God. Because of the warfare and because of the resistance, not because it's not easy for God. Of course it is. But there's a whole nother world that tries to stop God's plan, right? And so we need to be wise. We need to be very discerning in this hour in Jesus' name. So, yay, children, you can go to Kingdom Land. Wasn't that fun? Someday you'll be there, Lord willing, on that ocean. Oh my gosh, so, so good. So praise the name of Jesus for that. I'm so excited. I began giving you a word with Bob Jones about Bob Jones passing into eternity, and then we end with people jumping in the water and the sea and looking forward to the future and God saying, wow, look what I'm going to do. And I think that the Lord wants us to have an eternal perspective in all areas.
in all ways, on all places, in all places. And it's very, very important for us to keep that eternal perspective in our own lives. I know for me personally, that's a very specific word of encouragement that I need in these days. I need to keep that encouragement strong for myself, for my family, for this ministry, because I know that God is good and He's wise. And I know also that no one can stop His hand, really. And He's going to allow us to go through things in our life. And Bob Jones, I don't think he expected to go home and be with the Lord at this point. I don't know. He's the great prophet who hears things. But all I do know is at least up in, we don't know what went on personally, but on his website, or on James Gall's at least, it talked about various conferences coming up in February, March, April, you know. I think, wow. And here he is home with the Lord now. And this time, Jesus said, come on in. I'm not sending you back. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. And I think about the crossover. The little girl, young gal, I should say, on the screen, Tanya from Indonesia, the lost her father this week. And so we had prayed for him last year, and he had had a great measure of healing. He had been healed years ago, completely healed of cancer, he was told by the doctor. The cancer that was wanting to kill him. It was 4 or 5 years ago or so. Do I understand this? No. Last year, he had a great big tumor on his face, and as we prayed for him, he started, it was gross, and he started throwing up. The tumors inside his mouth, inside on his face, his tumors were shrinking. We prayed till 2 in the morning in Manado, Indonesia, an island in Indonesia, Sulawesi. We prayed for him. Why was he there? He was from there originally, but he was there because his mother was passing into eternity. And so he flew in the very day that we were flying in for a conference there with his daughter. Come on. So God brought him to us as he watched his grandmother pass into, or mother pass into eternity as well. So we watched as he cried before us, and his eye couldn't even see over the big tumor that was on his face. And we watched God. We just stood there and watched this tumor go. And then every time we worship and prayed, lay hands on him, more of this horrible stuff would come out and be coughed up into a box they had there. Do I understand this? No. Do you want to pray more? I don't, you know, we'll stay all night. What do you want to do? I think I want to go home. We'll see what God does. Okay. And that's what we did. And Tanya's been praying for him back in Indonesia. So we get this word. Do I understand all things? No. Do I know God showed up? Yes. Did he want to do more? Probably. Do we have a part in that? Maybe so. You know, I'm learning like you're learning and saying, Lord, I want to be wise. In 2014, when we see these kinds of things going on with Frontline Brazil, Frontline Mozambique, and Frontline here, Frontline. It's not about Frontline, but that's who we are right now. We, you know, we're in the throes of this spiritual family saying, I don't know, this makes no sense to me. We're this band of crazies, and you crazy people, and you give us land on the sea. It doesn't make sense to me. Is it just because we wanted to try to make something happen? No. It's the Lord. And we heard that a long time ago. And even took some steps. God said, back it up over here. Whoop, over here. Whoop, over here. We're trying, Daddy. We're trying to hear you. Yeah, this is the time. This is me. This is right. Okay. But we got the vision, right? Yep. Yep. Wow. So I'm the fear of God is on Pastor Bill and I. It's like, what are you doing? There's something coming up in this area, northeastern Ohio, that's not the Lord. And it's counterfeit to, you know, the people step into, and it's in the area of homosexuality and lesbianism and all of that. And there are all kinds of, you know, games and all kinds of fun things happening with the intent, the Olympics in northeastern Ohio, for the whole nation and people around the world to be coming. And I read the website carefully, and the goal really is to help people see that this is the way that should be okay. And so I was listening to Bob Jones on a YouTube clip yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, God showing up in his room and talking to him about what things were going to be like and what was going to happen. And this was prophesied. not this particular event, but the extent of this was prophesied decades ago, before it was a big deal, before it was a bigger deal, you know, and various other things. And so as I was listening to this going, wow, God, does that mean it has to happen? Does that mean we can stop it? What does all that mean? And so it was very strong. The prophetic words were strong. And I thought, God, I so want to be tracking with your heart. I want to be walking in kingdom things. I want to know what you're saying and what you're doing. And I want to be so filled with love that that's what comes out of me. And I know I'm very imperfect. But boy, if I can see something that is not what he would say is love, I want to be able to change that by his spirit. I want to do that. I want to be part of that, whatever that would look like. I want this pure virgin land and all these things to be able to come to pass without taking longer because God, you know, is moving in a maybe slower way, if that's possible. I don't know. But I just know that my heart is grateful and my heart is wanting to see things move forward in his timing. So I was listening to James Gall, actually, yesterday, who is a great prophet as well. He's a wonderful man. He listens to the Lord, and he's had angels and the Lord show up and speak, and he's very well known around the world as well. And he was tutored by Bob Jones, and so he shares some really cool things. But he also had some prophetic words for 2014 that I hadn't seen until yesterday. So I was listening to those because he was at a conference out in California, and he was giving his thoughts for 2014, and he shared 2013 as well, which I didn't know. And so I was listening to that going, oh my gosh, God, that's amazing. So I was listening also to a give and take between Bob and James Gall from 2009. And I was listening to them go back and forth sharing things that God was doing. And I was brought back to the time that Pastor Bill and I were, you know, trusting God for our lives, and you guys were as well with us, and all the things that happened after that and as a result of that. And I remember meeting Roland Baker with Iris Ministries that next fall, and he had been suffering from cerebral malaria and had really, really a rough time. And so we were taking him somewhere in our car, and he talked with us, and he said, "You guys had this thing going on at the same time? The same time?" He goes, "Wow, God's got big things planned for you." That stuck with me because I know he's a weighty person, but more than that, I felt in the spirit, he was saying, God, I was saying, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. It's like, okay, I'm going to pay attention. So there was overcomingness, if you will, you know, after that year, and I went through the years after that in my heart, and I was listening to this give and take between Bob Jones and James Gall in 2009 and going, wow, God, to look back is amazing. To look forward and bring the future into the now in an accelerated way is amazing. Because God's in both. To be able to look back and maintain a grateful heart, a thankful heart, and to be able to look into the future and call it in. And so one of the things that James Gall mentioned in one of the things I was listening to, he was just drawing us to Acts chapter 3, and I looked at chapter 3, and I looked at, he just referred to verses 18 or 19 through 21. You can put that up, Carl, if you want. And then I started studying it. And then I thought, Lord, what do you want me to know from this? What are you saying right now? And he really wanted me to hear, I believe, some things and to look at some things in scripture and to be able to impart some things. And then this morning as well, on top of that, as I was, you know, with the Lord, he just highlighted very clearly 1 Peter, and I want to go through some things there too. But let's take a look at this in the AMP in Acts 3, 18 through 21. It was just very exciting to me because we are contending for revival. We're contending for the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit here in Ohio. We're planted here. God is saying, yeah, I'm doing great things in the nations, and I'm going to increase that, and it's going to look very different in the future, but you can't forget what I'm doing now. And I'm going to blow the doors off this place. And you've got to hold fast and not give up or not go, well, I just want to see it. Well, when you see this on the screen, is that good? Does that make you happy? Is God trying to make us happy? He's trying to say, listen, I'm trying to open your eyes for eternity. I want to show you my eternal perspective. And it may not be what you think you want to see right now,
but this is what I'm doing, and I want you to track with that. So that was pretty exciting for me. So in northeastern Ohio, with what's going on in the negative sense, we want to come in with love to see, God, how can we be used in this area for the great harvest, the great end time harvest? I mean, Bob Jones was talking about a prophecy that God had given him that in 2020, that he was going to see, and I'm not sure how this all works, because it wasn't clear, really clear, but I've heard this prophecy many times, and I've got to go find it in writing. But what I was listening to, he said, and he died in 2014 here, he said in 2020 it's going to be seemingly in fuller swing, but there's going to be a billion souls, a youth revival, a youth sweep around the world. But it's starting now, and he felt that when Jesus sent him back to this earth and said, you're not staying here, you got a job to do to prepare my bride, that he would see the beginnings of it. And I read that, and I heard that, and I remembered that, and I thought, oh, God, the fact that you took him on Valentine's Day, Satan didn't take him out. You brought him home. You took him home. This is a big deal. This is a very big deal. It's like, wow. So what does that mean for us? And I believe the Lord's saying, hold on, hold fast, hold on, get going, get ready for what I want to show you, what I'm going to do, and it's going to be accelerated. 2014 to 2020 is nothing, but I don't believe it's going to be in the degree that maybe we've seen in the past. I believe that we are in an accelerated time. I don't believe it's an accident that after all the years of laboring and going overseas for a very long time, that we have our front line is established in a sense, in a different kind of sense, in 2 weeks in both places. What does it mean? God, it means something, and you're going to show us more. So let's take a look at this in Acts. Thus has God fulfilled what he foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his church, the Messiah, should undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer. Oh, great. So, repent, change your mind and purpose. Okay, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, from reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. So I was reading this, thinking about this, praying about this, listening, and just saying, God, more revelation. What are you saying to all of us in this hour? So I was going through and rereading Acts 1, 2, and 3, and just, you know, saying, okay, God, I'm familiar with Acts. Show me more in Acts. What do you want to show me again in Acts? And he's reminding me, you know, that Peter just spoke so clearly after so many people came into the kingdom for his first sermon, and he said, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And 3,000 people came into the kingdom. It's like, wow, yeah. I'm rereading that, going, "I know this. Why is this so strong? What's the big deal?" Because there was this miraculous time. Oh my goodness. Where this man had been lame since birth, and Peter and John were walking through in the gate called Beautiful, and they said, silver and gold, I don't have that, but what I do have, in the name of the Lord, stand up and rise up and you shall walk. And this lame man rose up, and everybody was amazed. And I'm rereading that going, yes, Lord, I've preached on that so many times. Yes, Lord, that's so cool. Wow, we're in a place where so much outpouring is happening, and we've seen things like that, you know, miracles, and we've testified here, and more is coming, and the Lord is saying, wow, creative miracles are going to increase. You've already tasted even of that, and more going to increase. So this message is for us. It's for the body of Christ, but it's for us because we're sitting here today. And so I'm reading that going, God, then what? I was so excited reading Acts again. It's like, what? That? What? And he said, well, Peter used that example. And he said, you know, it says in scripture that this man was clinging to Peter and John. I would too, going, ha, ha, I can walk, yay, and clinging. Because this guy had been lame since birth. Can you imagine that? And he's sitting there begging. And these guys said, I'm not giving you money. I'm giving you something better than that. Watch this. And everybody was amazed and they wanted to know what in the world. And Peter just spoke to them. And he said, that's a good woe. He said, listen, guys, you think I can do this? Let me tell you about the one that you have ignored, the one that you have turned your back on. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about Jesus, the one you have disowned. Is in one of those scriptures. I read them yesterday. Okay, don't have it open right now. Disowned? It's like, whoa. Yes, Jesus was a Jew and you disowned him. Now, there are a lot of unsaved people around there. A lot of unsaved people. But I just bet, if you want to bet, that there were a lot of people from that first 3,000 group, okay, who were right there going, oh, wow, there's more. And I believe God's saying in that amazement, like, oh, look at that guy, look at that ocean. Wow, look at what happened in Brazil. Look what's going on in northeastern Ohio. Wow, that our amazement for the Lord is going to so grow today, more and more and more, that we're not going to be put off by the things that we see around us that, it's like, yeah, come on, God. Whether it's in us or whether it's in somebody around us or it's in a situation around us or whatever it is, the Lord says, look, I am compassion. Hello? And I'm going to show you what compassion really looks like. Wow, how about that? Because I just did it for this guy in Acts, and you live under a new and better covenant. And when you're under a new and better covenant, guess what? This is normal. And you haven't seen anything yet. Is there going to be a harvest of 1 billion youth? God is not a man that he would lie. So I believe it. In God's positioning us. We are really the grand finale generation. Look around and say that to somebody. I'm part of the grand finale generation. Thank you very much. That's who I am. And so that means something. We may be having a big explosion or a little explosion, but whatever it is, every explosion matters in the grand finale. And God is saying that this is our time. So we need to be content in one way with where we are in the sense that, wow, we're amazed. But on the other side of things, we're going, come on, I want more. So somehow both of those hearts of, yeah, are meant by the Lord to propel us into the future and to bring the future into now. One without the other doesn't work. One going, I want more, but I'm not content. That brings hopelessness. That brings disappointment. That brings heartache. That brings judgment. That brings fear and all that junk that, you know, we don't want. And so this guy who stands up, this lame man who now can walk, is just so amazed. Just stand up in the name of Jesus and walk in Jesus' name. And the Lord says that we can do these things too. He says, go make your father known. Wherever it is, go make your father known. Don't wait. Well, I'm just waiting. What are you waiting for? Go make your father known. And so when Peter and John were talking to these guys, he was very strong. Peter was very strong. And then when we get down to verse 19, in fact, let's just open our Bibles real quickly. I wasn't going to do this, but I feel I'm led to do it. So I will. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. This is so exciting to me for this lame beggar. Verse 14, thank you. I didn't want to just randomly throw a verse out there. Verse 14 in chapter 3. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith, I'm in verse 16, in his name, it is the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance. Who's he talking to? Brethren. He's not just saying, hello, friends. He's talking to the brethren. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. And here we go in verse 18. Okay?
Thus, God has fulfilled what he foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ the Messiah should undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer. Okay, so he's recreating and repainting the picture of what salvation is. But he says to them, phase or point one, if you will, repent. Change your mind and purpose. Change your mind and purpose. Change your mind and purpose. The Lord was showing them more. He was saying, you know what? Peter talked to you and 3,000 of you were saved. Maybe you were there. I don't know. Maybe some of you drifted around that area. But I'm talking to you again. What do you think about that? And watch this. You didn't hear a bunch of babbling tongues. And you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is great and nice and wonderful and the greatest miracle you could imagine. But now watch this on top of that. And so I'm speaking to you, and people would come into the kingdom at that time, which was so amazing, I'm sure. So how exciting is that? So he's speaking to the brethren also in verse 19. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God so your sins may be erased, wiped out, and then times of refreshing would come. So we have another step in this. So we have repentance for the brethren that he's addressing, but also those who are coming in and being saved, if you will, for the first time, or saying yes to Jesus the first time, and all of that, that your sins would be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, listen to that, may come from the presence of the Lord. So God is all about going around the world at that time, and imagine what he's doing now, and bringing revival. He's talking to his bride, and he's saying, hey, I want to revive you. I want to build you up. I want to give you times of refreshing. I want you to go back and remember who Jesus is, what he's done. And absolutely take note that this is a time of refreshing for you all over the world. And I believe that's what God's doing. And we've had revival after revival after revival. We can study revivals. We can read about them. And we can go home and we make toast for our kids and have prayer time or watch the Olympics or whatever. And we don't feel as though we're in revival. And God is saying, you need to understand what it looks like. Because there are going to be times of refreshing where you, as a Christian, are going to go to another place. Let's say for the Toronto revival, if you would, in 1994, just blowing off the doors all the way around the world, people coming in, lives being changed, destinies being sent forward, people actually saying, okay, now I understand. Heidi Baker being one, and many others who've had just an expansion in their life, their personal life, ministry life, etc., and nations were birthed in new ways through that revival that is still going on, but there's a different effect from that. It's gone out to the four corners of the earth. And so God is still bringing revival, but that's still not the end. So you can tell from this scripture, it's really good. I love this. Recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. So the Lord is saying, guys, I'm bringing you to a place where I know it's kind of obvious, but it really needs to be all about me. You know, I know that makes maybe little sense here because I know you know it's all about my presence, but he's telling us in scripture, okay, here's what needs to happen. If you really want to experience this great, great presence of the Lord more and more and more, and that my presence is the focal point, there'll be some steps, there'll be some phases, some directions for us, and one of them is to change our mind and our purpose, to understand the times and the signs of the times that we're in. It's like, wow. Okay. And then verse 20 says that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed, even Jesus. But look at this in verse 21, because he doesn't stop there. Because we're going, yeah, well, this is not new. Of course, I want revival and I want times of refreshing and I want to experience the outpouring and the glory of God and all of those things. What's that supposed to look like? And then in verse 21, he says, whom heaven must receive and retain or hold. If you read it in different versions, you'll get some words that go along with retain and hold and receive. It's not taking back, it's holding, if you will. Even though Jesus is appearing to Muslims and Jesus can show up in an open vision in this place, he can do anything he wants.
But he's not coming back yet. And so it tells us here, until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. So here we have from Acts 1 through 3, and if you, some of you filtered in here, you know, just now, I encourage you to get the very beginning of this so you can see how it all ties together and listen to it. I would say to you that with this in mind, we can read Acts 1, 2, and 3 and say, oh, okay, there's something else that God is also wanting to do. And he wants us to be able to take a look at a puzzle and go, I get that, I get that, I'm just not sure where to put that. This can be another step in our puzzle, in our spirit man, just going, cha-ching, that makes sense, I get it, wow. And so for restoration here, he's talking about what it's going to be like when Jesus is then released or comes back after the signs, the wonders, the miracles, all kinds of things are happening. People are coming into the kingdom. The great end time white harvest is coming. The Lord is saying, prepare your hearts. He's saying, I want you to learn how to love. I want you to love one another. I want you to see what I see. I want you to focus in my presence. I want you to hold fast. I want you to see that I'm all about worship and I'm doing things around the world in prayer movements and worship movements and love movements. And it's all me. And I'm using you right where you are. And that's not holding, that's releasing, because God has a plan. Okay? For example, this land on the sea. He didn't give it to the church down the road. He gave it to us. He says, so what are you going to do? And more people will be with us, of course, to help us, right? But he gave it to us. And so he wants to do something. He gave us this building, free and clear. He wants to do something. And this place will not hold who's coming. Oh, I've heard that before. Well, yeah. You were all cheering when you saw the land on the sea. You see what I mean? God is saying, listen, you're going to be able to dig things out for your own personal life and the life of where we are right now as we think of what God is really, really up to and trying to do. You want to see something? I believe God is saying, listen, I'm showing you how to step into that. Change your mind. Let your purposes line up with his purposes more and more. I'm saying that. And I'll see more. I believe that. I believe that God's showing us how that can happen. So as I was looking at this chapter and saying, God, you had a purpose even after this lame guy jumps up and everyone is totally amazed and their eyes are on in wonder and amazement in verse 10 of chapter 3. People's eyes are on the miracle. But in verse 11, it says, while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran to them. All the people ran to the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. And men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? Let's flip over to 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, if Carl can put that up. God's going to show us some things. This is very exciting. I'm going to read to you at the end here, read you a few of the highlights from the prophetic word from 2014 that I think will also encourage you and strengthen you in this hour. In Acts, oh, he's coming. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. I'm sorry, those weren't up. And the next one is 1 Peter 1, 13 through 23. It's coming. Sorry, Carla. That probably a little. I mentioned it earlier. It just kind of got delayed somehow. That's okay. That happens. Not to Carl. Carl wasn't there. So, anyway, I will tell you that 1 Peter 1 is amazing. And it's almost up. 6 through 9. Okay. In this you greatly rejoice, even now for just a little while. If you have your Bibles there, this is what I want to highlight, but really want to take a look at the very beginning of 1 Peter, if we can. So I'll just highlight a few things for you there, if I can pull that up real quick. Okay. In 1 Peter 1, before we get to verse 6, Peter is talking about here,
In verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, verse 6, in this, what I just read, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So it's like, okay, ho-hum, various trials. You might be thinking, what? Various trials? That's all I get is one line here after what I've been through, after what I've felt, after what I've seen, after what I've been going through. You know, God is saying, yeah, I see the bigger picture. Let me just speak to that. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls, which would be the healing and the freedom and the just the overcomingness, if you would, of your mind, your will, your emotions, because you have already received that imperishable seed where your spirit is strong and resistant and resilient and filled with power in the Holy Spirit. But isn't this so strong where he says, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, even though. But you remember that we have to have a change of mind. We have to experience revival personally to be able to see revival around us. Really, we have to, if we want this revival that we are calling for, the Lord says, I want you to experience revival, what that looks like for your personal life, which we were talking about in Acts 3. See? So God is saying, how do we get there? What do? We have to encounter him, experience him, hold fast to the word, express what the word of God is saying, lay down and die, be in his presence, let Ezekiel 47 waters overcome us, overtake us, stay down, stay low, experience the weighty glory of God, know that he's showing up, know that he's close and near, not just something that we expect in our head and hope happens, but to be filled with more hope, to be able to discern the times, to be able to see if we have felt hopeless or we are hopeless, to be able to see whether or not we need to have a change of heart or change of mind in any way. Because if we have felt or thought hopelessness, or that we have felt or thought that we have hopelessness or are hopeless, that's a place where the enemy says, well, good, I can mess around with them more and more. This is good. This is what I like. And God says, no. Wait a minute. Here. Feast your eyes here. Lay down here. Listen to me here. Greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice. In what? Verses 1 through 5. We have to find the scriptures also that will speak to us and go, you want somebody to rejoice. Why? Back it up. And we'll be reminded. And the spirit and word coming together is going to take us into a place that we cannot, absolutely cannot do anything but cooperate with. Because the spirit of God is stronger than us. The word of God is stronger than us. And he's just looking, the Lord is looking for people who will say, that's me, count me in. And we'll take those steps to position ourselves to encounter him, to receive him. I personally don't want to wait till 2000 whatever and hope he comes in. It comes in as a fire and all of a sudden we're plastered to the floor. That's nice. That's coming. It will happen. But in the meantime, we can get plastered to the floor ourselves. You know, here at home, whatever. We can connect with him so much that we're willing to say, this is going to change. One thing that Bob Jones said in one of the many videos that I was watching, I told you about earlier,
he said that the Lord told him that he lost his marbles. I said, what? James Gall said, hey, there, you know, Bob, why don't you tell him about your vision or your dream? So he did, and it was in a good old boy way, you know, because he's from the South. And he says, well, the Lord told me to go in my backyard and start digging up. He says, I'm going to find marbles. So the Lord actually took him to his garden or whatever. He started digging, finding marbles, and the beginning marbles were very gray and dark. And he said, that represented my brain, my mind. And then eventually, over time, and he gave all the prophetic meanings for the different marbles. It's very fun. And by the end, he's digging up some different marbles. So he was saying that the Lord was saying, I'm going to change you. I'm going to change the way you think. But you've got to cooperate with me because that's what I want to do. But that's what the body of Christ needs to experience the fullness of the restoration. This restoration that he wants to bring is going to affect and infect every part of society. He's saying restoration is going to come to families and ministries, to cities, to nations. There are going to be nations one in the day. There are going to be cities where the Holy Spirit blows in and people aren't going to understand what happened. Well, yeah, we all want that, don't we? But he's saying, I need leaders to be able to lead the brigade, who are going to lay down, who are going to say, here I am. I need to discover you in this time and learn the ways of the kingdom to be able to pull that future into now, to be able to do that in an accelerated way. We can do that. And he wants us to do it. It's like, oh boy, count me in. How do I do that? Die. Oh yeah. No. How do I do that? Die to yourself. What do you mean? I'm going to kill you so I can kiss you to life. I've heard Heidi say that, and I'm learning more and more what that's like in this past year. But I will tell you that there is no other way for eyes to be opened other than to lay down, really, and let God speak. And many times he'll speak, and we just say, if it's in the Word, I'll see it. Maybe not. It might be in the Word, and you might not see it. It might come a different way. So you have to be open to all his ways, for sure. Okay. So let's put up the other 1 Peter passage, if you would, which is 13 through 23. Thank you. Therefore, I like the therefores. I look for therefores and greatly rejoice. I look for that in scripture. So, oh, God is so good. Therefore, as a result of Christ being revealed, you can read it again, prepare your minds. Here's this word about minds again, for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now he's speaking to the brethren as in terms of a living hope. Therefore, as a result, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely. Fix your hope. Or the enemy will do whatever he can do to try to rob you of it. If he can, he will. In any area. Examine every area of your life. If you don't have hope, 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 hope in every area, something is wrong. And God wants to fix it. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on what? On the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace, grace, grace. Okay, I wrote this down. I heard it from James Gall. He said this. Grace without truth leads to licentiousness. It's not good. Truth without grace leads to legalism. You can chew on this. I'm going to read it again, and then you can ask God about this one. Grace without truth leads to licentiousness. God loves me. God really loves me. God really loves me. Oh, that God really loves me. Yes, yes, and yes. And that's not a new revelation. But there are seasons. There are seasons in the times, Christian times, where the Lord seems to really emphasize more and more a message. And this is the message in these recent years. God is good. God loves us. Oh my gosh, new thought. No, it's not to God. But it might be to us. God is good. He loves me. He's graceful with me. Yes, I'm saved by grace. Whoa! Oh my gosh. Grace, saved through grace, through faith. Grace without truth leads to licentiousness. That means that God doesn't want it to be cheap, not cheap grace. He says, truth without grace, though, leads to legalism. You better do this. You better do that. You better do this. You better do that. Some of us may have grown up with some of that. But it better be careful, because we can end up pointing the finger of the very thing that God's trying to release us of on the inside. Ooh, think about that one. So, truth without grace leads to legalism. Grace and truth brought together leads to wholeness and authenticates freedom in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So I heard him say that yesterday, and I was like, yeah, yes, and yes, and yes. That is so good. So, 1 Peter, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. Former lusts. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. Well, I don't lust after anything. Maybe we lust after significance. I need to feel special. I need to feel significant. I need to feel this. I need. And if we focus on I need, guess what? We're not doing this. And we can actually enter into licentiousness and not even realize it. Sin. Not even realize it, because we've not really embraced the freedom that God brings, the freedom from fears that God brings when we cry out, Abba, Daddy. But if we cry out, Abba, Daddy, and we really still have fears, God is saying, you know what? You can find, you'll do anything to justify what you feel and what you think and what decisions you'll make. You'll do anything because you have to, because that's what is being fed on the inside. It's like, oh. Duh. It's interesting. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. In other words, if you're obedient to Jesus, then you'll understand how that grace really is supposed to operate, and he'll release more grace to be able to pull down the mountain of love that you really want to see, and the mountain of change. You just call on that grace. It's not just casting a mountain into the sea. It's bringing the mountain into the now. Isn't that fun? I want to see those gold bars that Pastor Bill saw in the spirit that were lined up in front of our garage with ribbons to the nations. He saw them, and he sees very well, very accurate. A lot. I'm so blessed. And I want to see those. Whatever it takes. Because I know it's true. Because it came from heaven. So grace. Grace. But understanding really his amazing grace. And Josh gave a good message while we were in Brazil. Thank you, Josh, on grace. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I think last week or the week before was the 20-year reunion for Catch the Fire up in Toronto. Many of us have been up there, had gone year after year after year. Carol Arnott, married to John Arnott, gave a prophetic word during that 20-year anniversary. And she said, the key to this next wave coming in is holiness. It's like, okay, well, we can get weird about that. Okay, that's not holiness. This set apart to the Lord, this holy set-apart life to the Lord is what he's talking about, which will go so low, so willing to put 1 Peter into action, especially in the areas of former lusts that could be current, and not we not see it because of the gray matter. It's possible. It's worth it. It's worth a good look with the Holy Spirit. It just really is. And let him talk to us as we go lower and enjoy his presence. You know, it's a win-win. We get the ocean, we get the sand, and we get to lay down and die and go lower. If you were here on Tuesday night, you enjoyed something very special, and very special this morning with worship as well. Tuesday night, the ones who were here, I mean, I don't know anybody's heart, Well, I'll just speak for myself. I was one of the ones. Okay, so I'll say the ones who were here. I was crying out for the Lord, just crying, just worshiping him. It was just 2 hours straight, which I loved. But there was something very precious and different about Tuesday night. There was a real hunger in the air, real hunger for Jesus. Not for things that need to change and this and that and the other, which is all good, but hunger for Jesus. It was so sweet. I'm so grateful. And I thought, Lord, that really touched your heart. That's really what it's about. Thank you. Thank you for that. So I'll close here by listing some of the things that James Gall said. You'll have to, you know, listen to him yourself sometime, but I can just give you a couple highlight points for 2014 that might be a blessing and encouragement for you. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it's written, you should be holy for I am holy. You know? Bob Jones said something profound also in one of the many things I was reading and listening to. And he said, when we're upset, we might feel angry. And he says, you know, in our minds, we have an emotion, we have anger that, you know, we can latch on to. Oh, that just makes me mad. It's been building up for a long time or whatever, you know. And he says, we can get over that by saying, oh, God, forgive me. But if we don't, and we become bitter, or we become offended, and we hold on to it for a long period of time and not even recognize it, then we have to be delivered of it. Because it's there, and it can defile many, and it can fool us, and we can go the wrong way and do the wrong thing. It's very important, and it can even stem from childhood or whatever. But he said that, and he was calling it out that day. It was interesting, a couple years ago when we saw him, as people and pastors and leaders just walked past him, he just was given this amazing gift of discerning of spirits, and he was calling out things that people didn't know were there. And God, you know, took care of it. It's just so amazing to see the Holy Spirit so lovingly just boom, clean up his hurting bride. Just fun. Let's finish up here. Let's see here. There's two, in the Amplified, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 was something I just wanted to leave you with, and I'm going to read these points. And as we're closing here, I just really want you to enjoy the song that Josh played a couple weeks ago that I believe God is just going to touch you. I had an encounter with the Lord that literally was shaking my bed, and he sat down next to me in Brazil through this song that I'm going to play as I close here. And, maybe you'll encounter him a certain way, but it's just very personal to me. I just wanted to bless you with it. But in this verse, Pastor Bill had this up last week. He was praying a prayer of repentance in the beginning and then had this up on the screen. I don't know if it was up in Amplified, though. So just wanted to read this because this is just fun. Because the Lord's always encouraging us. He says, trust and obey. There's no other way. And when we obey his word, then we experience more freedom. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it's supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So if you can get that song ready for just a second, Carl. It's time for us to mature. It's time for us to grow up. And this is... Revival might come to an end. It might reach a peak. Hopefully not. It may be sustained. That would be great. We call for that. But we do know this, that maturity absolutely does not. It does not end.
So we're always maturing, and God is calling us to do that. So I believe it's time in getting along with each other and seeing what's coming in the future more and more, that we're going to see even greater breakthrough. All right, here are a couple of points, and I'm not going to belabor them. I'm just going to list them, and then we're just going to listen to this and just say, Lord, touch me. I'm connecting with you. There's a fire, a new fire that is coming that convicts of sin, empowers, and is raw. It's a movement of fire. And the Lord is saying to us that fire is going to stay. So he's calling us for fire in a new way. And we can ask the Lord, Lord, where is your fire in my life on me? Is it happening? Have I experienced that? And more and more. So that's one thing. The Lord is saying that many open doors are out there for 2014, but some of them have to be broken down. And there's going to be a new way to stand in spiritual warfare. That the words that I don't have in front of me, I left them at home, that he heard from the Lord were, can't remember now. I should have written this one down. Okay, you have to break open some of the doors, and he had some special words, and if I can think of it, I'll come back to it. Anyway, he was speaking about there are going to be a great increase in gifts of the word of knowledge from 1 Corinthians 12:28, and to welcome the revelatory gifts to increase in your personal life. And there are going to be solution prophets rising up, not just problem prophets, saying, well, this is what I think needs to be changed, which is great. We can all do that. But those providing a solution from the Spirit and in the Spirit. Redemptive interpreters, he calls them. I love that. 1 Thessalonians 5:28. He says there's going to be a revisiting of weapons of warfare, where it's going to bring the treasures of the future into the now. So the Lord's going to teach us how to war against that which would steal, what Jesus is so intentional about wanting to release to those who are hungry in this season. And so the Lord's going to teach us in greater ways how to stand. The local prayer movement will increase, and he said from a church perspective, and he said he's all about houses of prayer and houses of worship and all those kinds of things, which we are too. And he said that's great, but he's also going to see, you know, greater increase in the local churches as well. Fortunately, we do operate also as a house of prayer to the degree in the DNA that God has for us, but he's going to see an increase. So it was just a real strengthening of intercession. He said that he had a move to a new place. His wife has died recently, fairly recently in the last few years, and he's had a bout with cancer. And the Lord took him at 60 years old to a new home, and that night he had an angelic appearance of an angel that had appeared 25 years ago, and this time it was in a military uniform, and the military uniform was significant because he hadn't seen this guy in 25 years, but he said, okay, with all of this glory being released, I'm going to teach you and the body how to increase and how to see what's going on. Things are different, and you need to understand how to wield proper warfare and weaponry. So that was kind of fun. And he said that Joseph was not just a dream interpreter, but he was an interpreter of revelation. So this redemptive interpreter that we were talking about, 1 Thessalonians 5:28, is going to be something that we're going to see. He said that coals of fire are going to be released on people and in people, which is increasing. And watchmen, watchwomen are called. And he said, if you are called as a watchman, you need to stand, and you need, you're called to be on alert right now. And he was saying this with a smile. I'm sure I could hear it over the, you know, the audio. But he says, this is a time to not be foolish and to look at what he already has done and see what maybe hasn't worked or what has fallen apart or whatever. And also then, you know, go forward and see where the enemy has tried to steal, kill, and destroy, because this is very, very important for the fulfillment of what God's doing for restoration. He said there'll be a restoration of all, for the message, the messenger, and the methods. He said that there will be an increase in the global prayer, with fire in the global prayer, a worldwide increase in this year of the supernatural outpouring of supernatural healings and manifestations. He says the increase in compassion, stopping for the one. He says love that expects nothing in return is the kind of love that is going to move mountains.
He said there'll be a synergy of generations. So it's that generational teaching that we've had here of God's connecting us, you know, spiritual mothering and fathering in a good way, in a healthy way, and all of that, and the connection of the generations. And he said that that the little ones are really, really going to have a place in the kingdom, which we're contending for that as well, and we're going to see it in 2014. He said the kingdom mandate for the gospel of the kingdom is very strong, and he says, if you don't know basically what that is, that was my summation. He didn't say it exactly like that. But he said, gospel of the kingdom, he said, preach it, teach it, live it. That's what's going to go forward. And then he said, finally, that the harvest, the church's commission to bring in the harvest is now. And he says, what you're doing is going to increase. So get ready. And so this end time harvest is here in a big way. So it's 2014. Between now and 2020, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking. And what's on our wall out in the foyer was talked about with Isaiah 60, and God is saying there, he's saying, listen, arise and shine, for your light has come. And people who will understand with the backdrop of the darkness that's going to cover or invade certain places, he says that's where the light is going to penetrate the most. So all these other things that we've heard about today need to be lined up. If there's alignment, then we're going to shine in those places, and we're leaders because of the place that God's called us to be as revivalists and harvesters and reformers. So, yay God for that. And I think that was the last one. So let's put this song on and just sit back, close your eyes, and receive whatever the Lord wants to speak to each one of you and I about this, and then you're free to go in Jesus' name. God bless you. And next Sunday, by the way, we have conference, and so we'll meet at what time? Six? What? Is it six here? Six? He's in charge. What is it, 6 or 6:30? What did we do last year? 6:30 last year? Is that what it is? Okay, 6:30. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to break the moment. Whatever God's doing, just wanted to get that out. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you. And, Father, let this be a time of close encounter of the most special kind. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you, oh. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. When you walk into the room, the sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. Cause there's resurrection life in all you do. We love you, we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.